Okay, ready? Everybody settle and action.
Warning, Critique Revolve contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended,
you're one ugly motherfucker. Go ahead. Make my day.
Well, that's great. That's just fucking great, man.
It rubs the lotion on its skin. It doesn't even have any
control. I'm mostly coming out. Most of all.
There are
certain rules. Short round.
Somebody.
There is no
food.
Oh,
Pete.
You ain't no country
either.
English motherfucker, do you speak it?
So I don't really have a concept or a title for this idea here, but one thing that I've wanted to do for a little bit, that this is sort of a proof of concept attempt, is record some of our more casual banter about movie industry theories, deeper conversations that oftentimes I will find I've had a conversation with Mike on the phone and it's lasted an hour, hour and a half. And I will say that should have been an episode right there, this whole discussion we just had. And so with that in mind, this is here is going to be a more casual discussion amongst myself, Mike, and David, who's in studio with us here today, based on an idea that I had mulling about when we were watching the Oscar movies just a few weeks ago. And that concept is, I was watching Wicked, okay? And as I was watching it, there were so many things about it. Disclaimer, I like the movie. Like, I thought, it's not my cup of tea necessarily, but it's well made. I can't deny that. But there were so many things about the story and the overall tropes or patterns or things that I've seen a lot of lately that I started to wonder, is Wicked where some of these concepts originated? The concepts in particular being, is Wicked the patient zero of this new wave of the villains actually been misunderstood this whole time and the hero or the good guys were really some sort of evil fuckers? Because this seems to be the core concept of Wicked as a story. And I went back and the play came out in 2003. And my logic is that's over, sadly, 20 years ago now. There are definitively theater kids who are in Hollywood writing these shows and movies. And we're seeing this wave of actually the villain was a good guy the whole time, he was just wronged. And actually, the hero was a lying piece of shit who never did anything worth noting ever. You just had your story wrong. Almost as if the frickin', like the idea of histories written by the victors being translated to TV and movies. And the thing is, I think Wicked, honestly, I think inspired a generation of these people who are making content now. But because they don't fucking fundamentally understand what made that work is why we're getting so many bad examples of this. And so that's something I want to discuss with the group.
Okay, so you mentioned something specifically that piqued my interest when you said how history, that whole saying, history is written by
the victor.
Which is largely true. That's how history is recorded for the most part, because the losers are historically usually killed off, right? What really started that mode of ideological thought was actually Howard Zinn. Oh,
A People's History of the United States.
Yes.
Dude, I fucking hate that
And
one.
That came out in 1980, yes. Which was read by a lot of academics.
Yep.
But it really hit the mainstream when it was updated in 2003.
Timeline's interesting, isn't it?
And even though that's filled with a lot of interesting thoughts that definitely get your mind going. And there's even a bit of a perspective switch that's going on cognitively. You're forced to contend with, air quotes, real history. That did something for a lot of young people.
I remember reading it in high school.
Yeah. It was a game changer for a lot of young minds. Why have we not learned this? And these thoughts have generally merged with Marxist and socialist,
which is also very popular,
ideology. So when you have those ideas merging, you start to get these types of thought experiments being put into feature films. Mm-hmm. Now, just to distinguish between what you're talking about, we're not talking about postmodernism in film or revisionist films, correct?
So for the audience, I guess, give an example of what you mean with that.
Revisionist films are more ideological. Postmodern films are more about reflecting on form. So, for example, postmodern films typically interrogate form, how stories are told, how genre functions as media artifacts. So like Pulp Fiction, there was a lot of focus on form and style. Revisionist films are more ideological. So where you have pastiche and postmodern, you have different perspectives. So with revisionists, you go from John Wayne, the white hat, to the black hat, Clint Eastwood. Those are revisionist films. And that's not what you're talking about.
That is not what I'm talking about here. Because that has been a thing for some time. And I won't deny that that in its own way is effective. What I'm saying is this entire core concept, not that the perception of the cowboy with John Wayne and what that meant in the 40s and 50s versus the Clint Eastwood era.
You know, moral ambiguity.
Right.
You're talking about morally skewed and kind of what the fuck, upside down thinking.
Exactly. Complete 180 thinking. And Wicked is a great example of that. So, spoilers. In Wicked, the story is about how the Wicked Witch of the West is in fact a good person who was treated poorly, racially bigoted, like there was bigoted elements towards her. She was the wronged party.
She was coded as black.
Yeah. She was coded as black. She's the wronged person. And the wizard is a liar, a charlatan, a scam.
Coded as white.
Coded as white, or the establishment, or the patriarchy.
Correct.
All of these things. Now, the fact that I think the Wicked did well is that even in the original text of the book, the wizard has always been some guy who's using smoke and mirrors.
Who's basically charlatan.
Yeah, that's the whole point. And part of the story is about how you don't need to go to some entity or magic person to solve all your problems. That's not really what's going to do it for you. So in a lot of ways, I thought setting up some of these characters like the Tin Man and the Scarecrow character and the Cowardly Lion and what they've done in the Wicked, where the animals who are sentient and talking are being removed, I thought some of that was clever in its own bubble. Uh-huh. But there's so many things that have taken that kind of idea of, well, what if the hero was actually the villain and the villain was actually the hero and everything you knew was wrong? And so a couple of examples really recently.
Okay.
Sauron in the Rings of Power.
Oh, why did you have to bring it
out? Because I'm bringing out the fucking heavy hitters. He goes from a literal demigod embodiment of evil and corruption working hand in hand with the equivalent of Satan.
Yes.
Who is a master torturer and has no redeeming qualities.
Yes.
To a wronged incel who wanted to make a better world and was just trying to escape to find a better place and was Galadriel wouldn't let him or join him. So he's meanie to her now. And the truth of the matter is that the elves are this high, prestigious, arrogant, wrong group.
But we all know that that Rings of Power was not accepted as like Wicked, though.
No. But that's what I'm saying. It's not that it's
about
accepted.
The trend itself.
The trend itself.
Okay.
All these things, Wicked did it right because I think it was well written and well implemented with an interesting concept based on the actual text of The Wizard Was a Charlatan.
Yeah.
So let's flip that on its head in a clever way that's well thought out. I think a lot of kids saw that, 15, 20, 25 saw that, who are now in the industry, who are like, I'm going to do my own subvert the truth version. And they have fucked up fundamentally actual characters with IPs they don't understand, thinking that they're clever. Rian Johnson is a perfect fucking example in my mind of somebody who thinks they're smarter than everyone else, who doesn't fully understand what they were given.
But here, that I could get behind, because like, I fully believe that writing in today's world has gone downhill.
Oh, absolutely. It has.
Where people don't really know the true, honest to God concepts that make writing, that make literature. It amazes me that basically
people think words on paper and a series of events is a story.
They'll look at a concept like what you're talking about, like the idea of subverting the concept of the role of the villain and the hero. And they'll just superficially look at the concept and think, I can do it, you know, like a Rian Johnson, like I hate to say it, like a,
well, I have some examples here.
I forgot the writer who was in Star Trek, Picard season one.
Oh God.
Shayban.
Well, that's one of my examples actually.
And Shayban is considered one of the best novelists in our days, in today's world. These great novelists. Yeah. They're brilliant minds, but they don't really know concepts. Like if you ask them in interviews, it goes over their heads sometimes.
Yeah. I think a lot of this has less to do. Yes. They're not great writers as in years past, but a lot of it also has to do with a political mindset. They go in with an agenda and they focus more on the politics rather than the content, rather than the plot, rather than the story, rather than the narrative. Their emphasis is on the message as opposed to the content. And that's when we start having issues like The Last Jedi. But The Acolyte's worse.
Well, that's one of my...
That's a better example.
That's one of my examples that I have listed here. Sauron in the Rings of Power is an example of this, where the villain was truthfully wronged and even killed by orcs, and that even in that show... The orcs themselves are just misunderstood monsters who want to take care of their children. Fucking what? That is so incorrect on every level. Meanwhile, the elves are a bunch of dickheads who leave people to die. The Harfoots freaking might as well eat each other if you have an if you have an injury and be left behind. Nick Fury in Secret Invasion. Nick Fury in the Avengers is this badass motherfucker. Come Secret Invasion, every single thing he ever did that was of value and worth was actually provided to him by the information of the Skrulls, who in the comics originally are the fucking villains.
Yeah.
And they are just misunderstood, who wanted to find their own home planet and needed a helping hand. And Nick Fury told them, fuck off. Picard season one, The Acolyte, Star Wars in general, Cruella. She was wronged.
Oh, that's a big one.
And she's now has her own movie where she's the hero. Maleficent was wronged and has this story where she's the hero. Peter Pan and Wendy, if you have seen it, Hook himself was Peter's best friend who's betrayed by him. And he's not actually that bad of a villain. And Wendy becomes the new hero. Now, that has a little bit of the strong female character element. The new Little Mermaid, Triton and Ursula are related, and one has been exiled because she was wronged by the male hero or the good guy, the authority figure, whether it's the government or the Jedi or the king, are always the bad guys. And I'm not talking subvert where the villain is truthfully misunderstood in a smart way, something like Joker 2019 or Avatar The Last Airbender, or even where you could say the quote, right side or who we thought was the right side is in fact a bunch of dickheads, something like Last Samurai, Dances with Wolves. That is something else even. I'm saying
Dances with Wolves is revisionist.
Correct.
Yeah.
I'm saying we have this whole trend of the villain is actually just the good guy and the good guy's always been a twat and you didn't know it.
lot of that could also be, we have ran out of, I don't believe we have, I'm just using it as a,
right,
a general catch-all, but generally speaking, people seem to have lost original thought and
absolute
ideas for stories. So what they do is they latch on to certain things that you might not have seen in years past, and they are politically driven. And what we've been talking about, I would classify, now that I fully understand what you're talking about, Thomas, as a counter narrative. And counter narratives typically change their perspective purposely so that you can understand the mind or see through the eyes of the marginalized individual. And the marginalized individual is in society, because of hegemony, is wrongfully positioned as a villain. So they'd come in with these counter narratives and they say, well, the real villain is hegemony, and the people who have no power are the actual good people. And that's the agenda that you start seeing. What it is an offshoot of 1960s thought against the establishment, against the man. That's a tired subject. It's been done in movies time and time again.
Right.
And now what they do is they throw in people who are generally considered villains for marginalized reasons.
But that's the thing, is that they used to have stories like Easy Rider of marginalized groups that are trying to rebel against the man. We want to be free. You know, that whole speech that he has in the courthouse. That's not Easy Rider, but you know my point. But that used to be groups that perhaps didn't have a voice or were marginalized. Now we are taking established, definitive, fucking evil characters and turning them into, oh, well, actually.
Thomas, this isn't that big of a mystery when you think about what's going on right now with Luigi Mangione.
Yeah.
Everyone's celebrating a guy who murdered someone they deem wealthy. And there's a lot of people, a lot, like half the country, who thinks what he did is good.
Right.
That is because of the undermining of moral authority. That's what people are doing. Because a moral authority is established by what? The dominant culture. And when you're not a part of the dominant culture, your voice and what you deem as moral authority or moral importance is secondary in society. So that's the purpose of a lot of these counter narratives, is to position or change the moral authority by saying, well, in all actuality, who's really bad is the wizard who has all of this power.
Right.
And the real victim is this person that you really don't understand. But if you looked really hard, she is the good person.
Right. And that's why Wicked works. But what I'm saying is, I think, because I'm going back in time, I'm trying to look, and there's I'm open to hearing examples. I'm trying to think of what really like, things like Rings of Power and how it's doing Sauron, or how the Acolyte did the Jedi dirty, is straight up almost a, you know, copy my notes, but make it different of the core concept within Wicked of the wizard and the wronged party and all this stuff. And even the good witch, Galinda, and their friendship is like parallel in the fucking Acolyte to some degree.
Well, would you go...
I'm saying is there something prior to Wicked that has such a similar text play by play that so many things currently in the last 5+ years have been just straight up ripping off?
See, my brain goes beyond film and then starts going into literature, because like when you're talking about like counterculture stories like this, it's stories like 1984 and Catcher in the Rye that immediately pop in my brain.
I don't want to cut you off in a way, David, but I truly don't think the people writing some of this stuff today are that well read or intelligent.
Yeah. But I mean, like the concept
to know what you're even talking about.
But the concept, though, where it started, you could probably look at like the origins going even further than Wicked, going back to then. Because it has to start from somewhere.
So to David's point, you know, I agree with Thomas, what he's saying about you're giving him too much credit. These people aren't thinking that hard. I would agree that they may not understand, But there is a thing called, I think it's dialogic memory.
Yes.
Or dialogic imagination.
That's what I was trying to think
of. And it's more of a subconscious thing. It's things that we are familiar with and we just gravitate to it. And it's what causes ideological paradoxes because we gravitate to things that actually don't cohere together.
Yeah.
You could be right where you're coming from, but that doesn't mean these writers and directors that Thomas is talking about contemporary times are pulling from that directly.
I don't like, for example, Picard season one is such a bastardization. Let's shit in Picard's mouth. Same with Star Wars, The Last Jedi. Let's desecrate every element of Luke Skywalker. Because he was wrong. The Acolyte, the Jedi are straight up fucking evil and hiding things.
Because you're doing the counter narrative. That's what these, that's what they're obsessed with.
But that's the thing is like, these are, I don't think Wicked necessarily started it. I think Howard Zinn, honestly, truthfully had a big impact because I know everyone my generation has read that.
Everyone.
Everyone in history has read that.
If you went to college, high school, yes.
I read it in an AP, you know, college placement course in high school. But what I'm saying is I think Wicked popularized it for the generation, the genre group fans who are in the, in the positions they are now. It's not that Wicked is the first. Someone who wrote that was smart. But everyone who saw that and was inspired by it has taken the wrong concept on a shallower level and done it dirty. Why else do you take beloved icons and just utterly eviscerate them? And it's one thing if you want to take someone down a peg to build them back up. A lot of sequels in the 80s and 90s did that. But the fact that they just take them down, keep them down, and bury them. And the bigger thing to me is the villain actually being misunderstood or good. Not a redemption story. Okay. Where they were truly evil and become good. They were always in the right. But the story, the narrative, the history that we learned was wrong. Like, how else do you make Sauron a fucking, try to make him a sympathetic figure? Why destroy Nick Fury and give all his credit and achievements to the Skrulls?
So when you say that, though, then what about like a story like Darth Vader? That doesn't count because that's a redemption story.
From the original trilogy. That's absolutely a redemption story.
That's a redemption story. Okay. I just need a clarification.
And it's the whole story of like, and it's not even really about Darth Vader. It's that Luke turns him to the light. Luke believes in him. Luke is the guy who never gives up. And then by episode 8, he's the guy who's given up. But not to change anything, to just stay in his lane off to the side on Dick Suck Island.
Do you think, when it comes to the Lord of the Rings or the power, what is it called?
Rings of Power.
Yes. Because of all the issues dealing with like the hierarchy of Lord of the Rings and, you know, whole the white supremacist idea now that it was imbued with prejudicial thoughts.
I'm sorry. Tolkien's a human being.
Do you think that's what's happening with some of these franchises? You take, look at Wicked, look at Rings of Power, and you take so-called problematic IPs that have been interpreted incorrectly, let's say, according to us.
Yes. Well, and truth.
And they go back, and in order to make these IPs viable for today's audiences, they go and undermine it with someone like Sauron. Do you think those are the reasons why they're doing it? They're purposely undermining the hierarchy in order to make it palatable for today's audiences.
They're absolutely trying to mold some of this to fit a, quote, modern audience. But the problem with that is a couple things. One, according to box office and ratings, this fictional audience does not exist. The people that they're making this for are a fictional idea of a person that a group on Twitter believes should exist or is out there. But these people are not real. They're not buying tickets. They're not watching shows. It's not a popular thing. I know people who are in the LGBT community. I have friends in different racial groups who do not align with these new, quote, modern audience demographics. I think it's an attempt to cut down what was once established because I don't even think Wicked is truly the problem. I think people might have been inspired by it because it was so wildly popular in 2003. that, like you said, that, what is it, dialogic memory?
Yeah.
They don't realize that they were inspired by it, but they don't fundamentally understand how that worked.
Yeah, correct.
And it's one of those things where I heard this, this is a good phrase that I've heard before.
The problem with dialogic memory is they don't understand. It's a subconscious recall.
Yes. And I think it's a couple things. The fact that some people have read Lord of the Rings orcs, seen orcs, and thought, that's a black person. Holy shit. What is wrong with you?
You know what? Let me say something about that. Because if you were watching Lord of the Rings and you saw a black person when you saw the orc, I think you're the problem.
You absolutely are the problem. It's that the is so fucking wrong and proves who the real racist is.
But it also goes beyond that because, like, I've had a similar when I was in ASU taking film, and we were talking about film history, and the story that basically sticks with me to the day was hearing the teacher at the time telling us the story of how we were watching Monty Python and the Holy Grail, and someone literally said, "Oh, the Black Knight scene's about Vietnam." We all stopped and kind of looked at him.
Holy shit.
And it's that type of logic that is very prevalent in a lot of, like,
idiot circles.
Idiot circles. Yeah. I was trying to think of a better way of putting it.
No, we're casual here.
But the idiot circles are larger than a lot of people would like to say.
They are.
You know, but the problem is, that's what I say, is like, you see an orc.
You can't even say that anymore because
you get in trouble.
You would be an elitist.
Yeah, you get in trouble. It's just like what I told you in a lot of shows, Mike. A lot of people, like, think I'm an elitist because, oh, David criticizes everyone because he's holding everyone to a higher standard.
That's called having an informed opinion.
What is wrong with holding people to higher standards? That is the entire concept of a hero. A hero is an embodiment of humanity and what it could be. Someone who goes above and beyond, someone who can achieve great things, someone who doesn't give up. It gives us something to aspire to. Instead, we have this new narrative of accept everything. If you accept everything, you strive for nothing. There's nothing wrong with having ambitions or trying to be better. And it doesn't mean you have to shit on someone else or shit on yourself with low self-esteem. You're human. We're all human. We're flawed. But the fact that we try, that there's something to try and be like, is the whole point of a hero character.
Well, think about also, Thomas, one of the biggest arguments or debates in circles, why is Superman less popular than Batman right now? Because we always hear in comic books, oh, Batman is so relatable. Batman's relatable. And when me and Mike talked about it, we discussed about the fact that I think people just do not want to aspire because of that high standard. They look at Superman and says, oh, that's too high.
Well, Superman is, like, theoretically too high. But the point is, he's supposed to be. Second of all, I truthfully think it's a cool factor. Batman looks cooler. He's got cooler villains. Like, that's the thing.
Superman's got red underwear.
You know, he's got... In a world of pseudo-intellectuals, everyone wants to gravitate to the hero that's supposed to be smart. Everyone likes Batman because they kind of identify with or hope that they would be Batman, because we have a world of people who think they're smarter than they are. Batman is the world's greatest detective. No one's trying to be a higher moral character that is Superman.
Yeah.
Because that is harder.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, from a simply superhero standpoint, like, what are you going to do to Superman to really threaten him? Like, that's just a
green threat, stone,
a threat to the.
Another thing is, it's cool to be the black sheep for a lot of people. A lot of people want to be
James
part
Dean.
Of the counterculture. We don't have a counterculture, but there are a lot of people that want to be a part of the counterculture. And it's uncool let's bring it back to movies, to write movies where you're the current power structure. So why not reverse the power structure so I can be part of the counterculture, throw in some moral fuckery and perspective switches. And now the villain this whole time that you thought was a villain is only acting in response to being oppressed. Do you think that's what's happening? No one wants to say, who wants to write a movie about abiding by the government and being a good police officer? Like, that's not fun.
Oh, yeah.
Right. But that's the thing. So, one, I think you are right to some degree. But the problem is that these people think they're being part of the counterculture are, in fact, part of the current culture where you're just in line with everyone else. If you don't have enemies, you're not part of the counterculture.
By not conforming, which is what they don't want to do, they are actually conforming.
And they don't realize that to one degree. Oh, Mike,
you just hurt my brain.
Second of all, I think it's how you do it. Because someone can have a story about a higher moral standing cop. For example, Training Day, RoboCop.
I was going to say The Shield with Vic Mackey.
even Die Hard. He's a good cop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He fights terrorists. They're clearly evil. But that's the other thing is when you take away these villains and make them misunderstood.
The remake, though, the terrorists would be good.
Right.
And
he's defending some sort of country that doesn't have enough food or some bullshit. And that's why he's here in the first place. But that's the thing is like when you take away these villains, you don't have the true threat. I think, honestly, Infinity War was so well received because the villain was a fucking threat.
I don't want people thinking this is an evaluation on Wicked because it's not. We all like Wicked. Wicked's a good movie, but we're using it as a foundation to launch this discussion.
I'm saying, where did some of these concepts come from?
Wicked does it right.
Yes.
That's what we're using as a foundation. But when you look at something like the Acolyte, when you don't fully understand the IP, going back to what Thomas was talking about with the Rings of Power, the Acolyte is so paradoxical when it comes to Star Wars. It reverses Star Wars ideology to where it makes no sense in the world of Star Wars.
It's completely bastardized.
The Acolyte was trying to say that the dark side isn't bad if you're oppressed, essentially. But that's an example of the showrunner not understanding
what the
Star
dark
Wars
side is.
Because if you touch the dark side, if you understand the way the Force works in Star Wars, it's evil behavior, it's self-centered, and the good side of the Force is everything that people should like, good things. So there is no room for a counter-narrative. Now, if you look at the Anakin story,
yeah, like you already did it with Anakin and Vader.
It's completely different, though. Mm-hmm.
That is a completely well-thought-out
Anakin
version.
Is a tragic fall.
Yes.
It isn't a counter-narrative.
He did evil shit.
Yes. We're not saying, oh, his evil shit was actually the good thing.
No.
That's what the Acolyte was doing.
Exactly.
There you go.
And that's what happens when you try to do these counter narratives within IPs where it just doesn't work.
Well, another one, a simpler example is, or not simpler, I guess, but another example that just flabbergasted me, Hocus Pocus 2. I know a weird cut.
Yes.
But the first Hocus Pocus is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And has evil yet funny witches who steal the souls of children. And in the sequel, they were just misunderstood girls who had an adoptive mother figure who were held down by the system. How fucking dare you, for one?
I didn't realize they did the same thing that we're talking about right now because I didn't even watch it.
This is what I'm saying. It's fucking everywhere right now. And I think Wicked, to some degree, might have been where some of these people don't even realize they had this seed planted in the back of their mind.
Okay, so let's bring this to current times now politically here for a second. We live in an age where we're constantly wanting to mediate certain films for our youth. Mm-hmm. This isn't appropriate for them because it's going to make them do X, Y, and Z. And we don't like that. But how much of these counter narratives that we're having today actually shaped Luigi Mangione?
I don't know.
Because now I'm not one to point at content. I believe everyone should be responsible for their own actions. We all watch the same movies and I don't go out and shoot people. However, everyone is a little different. How much responsibility do these types of films play when you have actions of these types of people taking place?
Well, that's the thing is that there's always, I had a class at ASU as well. It was like ethics in film or film ethics. I don't remember the title exactly, but the same concept is what you create has an impact in the world and how much are you responsible for the ripple effect to some degree? Where is that line? What should you be considering when you make content or make art of any kind? And what the fallout will be from that? I don't necessarily know, or I wouldn't necessarily say that he might have been inspired by some of the stuff today because the current healthcare and so much of America's dystopian nature today, and it's, I think is independent of these movies. But I do think you have a point of when you constantly have movies that say the villain was okay and justified, how long before that becomes what people just used to...
I'm not talking that Mangione watched these movies and that's how it became influenced. I'm talking about these films imbue the zeitgeist, the cultural zeitgeist. And when you have that cultural zeitgeist, it's in society. That's why you have people praising Mangione for what he did, because it's something that a lot of people are connecting with. This idea that the marginalized, no matter what they do, are good, and the powers of hegemony are bad just because by virtue of having power. How much of that is all, obviously we know that's being reinterpreted into movies.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not the movies themselves, because I don't believe content affects people. I believe the medium itself affects more than the actual content. There are correlations, maybe not causation.
There you go. Yeah.
But okay. Correlation.
Because I was going to bring up, I mean, a film that pretty much is talked about in this type of discussion is Taxi Driver. I mean, think about how, like, people always say that that concept influenced, where you have movies like Taxi Driver and Scarface that people will say, oh my God, that influenced ways of thinking, right? Especially when it comes to violence and everything else, how it glorifies it. And that's where it's a little dicey, especially when you said, like, well, how much is it the content's fault that...
That's not what I'm trying. Yeah, I'm not trying to say. I am a strong believer that content does not influence people. Because if it did, then we would all be doing the same fucking shit. Yeah. I think culture in itself, there's some correlation there. And when you have a cultural zeitgeist, that means that's the zeitgeist. That means people are generally of the same mind.
Mm-hmm. I think... Here's the thing, like, to get into, like, not too much of a political discussion, because this is a whole other topic I would love to have, truthfully, but it's one of those things where I don't know how much the media or the content of the zeitgeist, like, is part of it, because at least in my mind, or at least from what I'm seeing, it's almost like a dystopian world we're living in currently. And the sad fact is, because I saw this, someone had it was one of the graffitis that was on New York subways and stuff that people were posting photos when that first happened, and the phrase was, one man did with a bullet more than what thousands of protests have done. And I think it's the fact that the government and people clamped down and manhunted this guy for one CEO, yet all the other atrocities that occur and all the other bad things that happen to various other people who aren't wealthy and rich are ignored. We don't have the resources. We can't be bothered to help you. Your daughter's missing. I'm so sorry. That just happens. And I think it's a visceral reaction of anger that when we suffer, nothing happens. When one of them suffers, everything changes overnight.
Yeah.
And I think whether or not Luigi is right or wrong, I think people's reaction to him, this martyrdom, is not because they see him as a taxi driver. They see him as a Robin Hood, somebody who is tired of the rich and the wealthy taking advantage.
Robin Hood didn't shoot a guy in the back.
He didn't, but through hundreds of years in Taxi Driver movies later, it seems like a more modern taking on the story. I'm just saying, I'm not saying it's justifying, but I'm saying that's why people are seeing it as that. Whether or not the media content of villains being misunderstood has a correlation causation, I think there's something to that. But I think the reason that that particular individual has been deified in a way is because of so many other elements and how the rest of the civilized world acted in response to one incredibly rich person being murdered.
Yeah, I get your point, and I agree.
Especially when...
But I will say that when you have such a callous murder captured on camera, I mean, society is going to react.
Society will react.
And of course, we're going to all gravitate to this. Whether it doesn't matter if the guy was rich. If he shot a guy in the back who was a hobo, we would be saying the same thing, especially if it was on camera.
I think it's also simply this element of who the person was. There's, I don't know a single family that
hasn't had... Two rich people killing each other? That's good.
Well, I think I don't know a single family that hasn't had hardships because of healthcare. It's very easy to find
people. But do you shoot someone in the back?
And I think...
That, do you want my opinion on it? I'm saying this is a perfect environment in which this kind of thing happens. Just like with the French Revolution. When bread costs a day's wage, heads start to roll. That is a modern version.
You're talking about reality. Yeah, yes, social realities. Yes, yes. Yeah.
We are seeing the ramifications of decisions and practices and policies for the last umpteen years.
So that brings me back to my point that these counter narratives that we're seeing that are very much in line with things that we're seeing in today's society because of cultural reasons don't always equate to positive thoughts nor positive content.
They are intrinsically tied to some degree. I think you have a point of perhaps people's, if that had happened today, if this thing had happened in 1950s America, totally different reaction. Completely fucking different.
Let me ask you a question, Thomas. So you seem to be okay with what Luigi Mangione did. So why do you have a problem with the movies that we're talking about?
I don't agree with what he did. What I'm saying is I understand how we got there.
Okay.
And I think there's more to come if things don't change, just like there was in France circa 1776 or 1786.
I get what you're saying now.
Yeah.
You cannot shit on someone constantly and be upset when they punch you. You had to expect that at a certain point, or you're insane. What I'm saying is the fact that we have allowed villains to become misunderstood is why so many people don't have an issue with what has happened today. We are wronged. Yes. We are shit on. And the villains are getting more and more movies that show that they were actually in the right and they too were wronged, so that more and more people don't seem to strive to hold themselves to a higher standard. If the world of Christopher Reeve's Superman, of John Wayne's The Searchers was still around today and this act happened, it'd be considered heinous.
Oh, yeah.
But what has happened is we are living in a world in which something like this makes sense that it happened. To sound horrific, I'm surprised it hasn't happened earlier or more often.
Well, okay. Well, then, Thomas, what a perfect way to wrap the show, because you just answered your own question. Why are we getting movies like this? It's because of culture.
It is because of culture.
I kind
of
like how we just answered that.
Yeah.
People are fed up. That's kind of the conclusion to your thesis, Thomas. Are you happy with that conclusion? You don't seem like you are, but you literally brought the conclusion yourself.
Well, it's hard.
Yes and no, because it's like, while I understand it, I'm still disappointed.
And yeah,
because it's lazy.
And I can see it in your face.
It's fucking lazy. Because I think when it comes down to it, Thomas, it's not the counter narrative itself. It's the low effort
that someone saw Wicked and said, copy paste, I'm going to shit on Luke Skywalker or the Jedi with the Acolyte. And I don't fucking understand fundamentally why this doesn't work when I think it should.
There you go.
And on top of that, it's people using other IPs to lift yourself up. And there's one of those phrases that I've heard before. Anyone with a hammer can destroy in minutes what a master took decades to create.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing people take the Acolyte hammer and smash the legacy of Star Wars and think that they're better for it or that they're intelligent for it, rather than create and craft their own world that could be something that becomes part of the cultural tapestry that reflects the problems and the feelings of today. They just shit on what exists.
Or I'll raise you. If you don't like society and you see these problems, rather than returning to the well with the same old tired out, talentless counter narratives, why not put together a new, fresh political perspective that's different than the counter narrative, that's different than revisionist film, that's different than postmodern thought? Come up with a new theory for your film.
If you want to see a better world, you can do the destruction of something else greater people have made before you about how nihilistically bad things are, Or you can put in some fucking effort and create your own 1984 Brave New World, or better yet, your own Superman, some sort of ideal or a character or a story that pushes us to want to strive to make something fucking better. And instead, we just decide, let's wallow in the muck, and people are paid well for it, and they're not even original.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, like, I answered my own question in a way through this discussion.
I love it.
But I'm fucking upset with the fact that that's the answer.
Well, the thing is that that's one of the problems when we do, like, film theories like this is, like, we're forced to face realities that we may not be wanting to accept.
And that's one of those things, like we're having this discussion because I wanted to, and this is stuff that we talk about in the kitchen or on the phone. Yeah. On a regular basis, the writers and the people who are supposed to be, in a way, the shepherds of either these IPs or culture as a whole, cannot or will not put in that effort.
Yeah.
That's upsetting.
It is. It's a little depressing.
There are so many things to pull from. If writers and directors need new ideas been used, like, meaning just look at in terms of political thought. Go read a philosophy book, a political philosophy,
yes.
And there are thousands of really cool concepts that you can put into a movie.
Dude, there are thousands of hero stories or fictional myth or folklore mm-hmm. from multiple cultures that have not been touched. Why do we, like, this isn't to sound completely racist that some people will think it sounds. Why make Blue Beetle Hispanic and say that's your woke, we need to change things for a modern audience, when I haven't seen a Zorro movie in years?
Yeah.
Or multiple other Hispanic, yeah. Mexican, Latin American myths. Why not bring
some Chupacabra?
If you want
La Riona
to push these things into the limelight, stop ripping off Shakespeare and other things that exist and push these other cultures that have stories we haven't fucking seen.
And Marxist and socialist thought. I have no problem with Marxist and socialist thought, meaning I find it intriguing.
The concept.
Personally, I don't think it works in a large society.
Because it depends on humans not being scumbags. Assholes.
Yes. But the concepts are intriguing. But all these films that Thomas is talking about, they're filtered through socialist thought. Why don't you go use some other political ideology out there and then get
again, everyone it's goes lazy. To yeah. It's the one they know. It's the one I can quickly Google and get everything told to me through a YouTube video. The other, what you're asking, and this is where we come back to what I was talking about with you, Dave, is where I don't believe people are smart enough. You're asking them to read a book, Mike.
What?
What? What is this? We're wasting paper.
I'm for the environment, and this is just about killing trees.
Get a Nook. Oh, dude, I don't know what to tell you. Put it on your Kindle. I'm going to
be honest with you. I actually heard someone actually told me
that. I've heard it too.
Did you?
And it pisses me
Luigi
off.
Them?
Oh, I wanted to, Thomas. Because okay. Oh, I need to stop your stupidity right now.
God.
But there is ignorance out there.
Yeah.
And we'll push it forward.
Yeah.
So
movies need some fresh thought.
Dude.
I think that's pretty much the idea that came from this, or the general thought, yes, that came to the surface was like, well, basically
no one's had an harder. Original thought the, in 15 the years.
Additional yeah. thought to that, to your point, Mike, is like, yeah, we need original thought, but we need people to push that original thought.
Well, and if you want to actually be counterculture, you have to be counter to the current culture.
Yeah.
And then you're right, because everyone thinks they are being, but just assimilating into what's acceptable right now.
Exactly.
And they don't even realize
it. So strange. Society's weird.
Humans are strange, Mike.
Yeah.
Pick up a book by Nietzsche and tell us a story using his thought. Fuck. I would watch the hell out of that.
But again, that
requires understanding, because his thoughts are very complex, and reading
complex is one way.
You want to have an interesting political story? Imagine using his thoughts.
That's hard.
Yeah.
Why would I do that when I can just, you know, desecrate another famous and well-established IP? Yeah. I don't even need my own ideas. Then I can just crap on theirs.
Yeah. I think. Yeah. I like this discussion.
I had a good time.
I did too.
So, yeah, that's pretty much going to do it here. This is how the phone call would end. Say I'd have to get back to work or something. So hopefully, let us know what you thought. Did you enjoy this rambling conversation? Did you have counter opinions to these things. And let us know if you want to hear more of stuff like this, because I'll probably push for it because I get bored. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you later.
Hello, very nice to meet you. I'd like to know about sex change operations.
I see.
Cut. No good for sound.
Well, fucking hell, Lloyd.
Man, game over, man. It's game over. What the fuck are we going to do now? What are we going to do?
Well, we're going. We don't need roads.
I'll be back.